chapter 12. Find this place, that place in your New Testament, 1 Corinthians chapter 12. And we will look at some verses here in this chapter for a few moments tonight. If you did not receive a prayer list, you don't have a handout. Is there anybody that did not receive the prayer list? You'd like one. We have a hand up right down here, Brother Bragg. Anywhere else? We're all good. Thank you, fellas, for that. All right. Father, bless the study tonight. Open our eyes to your word. Teach us wonderful things. Some of us, Lord, many here have already heard these things. Lord, it's good to be reminded of them and how important it is to understand the local church. Help us tonight in Christ's name. And amen. Let's just start right off the bat with number one on your sheet, that in the Bible, God compares the local church to several different physical metaphors that help us understand its makeup and purpose. All right? God compares the local church to several different physical metaphors that help us understand its makeup and purpose. The Lord does that a lot throughout the New Testament, especially where he uses things that you and I are extremely familiar with to teach us about spiritual relationships. In fact, you know, he uses the husband-wife relationship to teach us about the church's relationship with Jesus Christ. He's the bridegroom, we are the bride. We understand marriage so we can understand better our relationship as a church with the Lord Jesus. Now, one of those physical metaphors that God uses to help us understand the local church's makeup and purpose is the human body. That's what we're going to be looking at tonight, the human body, okay? The local church is the institution of God. It is a spiritual institution, and using physical things that are familiar to us helps us understand it better. Just like our physical body is fearfully and wonderfully made, so the church is miraculously put together. Look at verse number 27 in chapter 12, and we're going to look at many other verses here in this chapter, but look at verse number 27, where Paul said very plainly, "Now ye are the body of Christ." So number two, and I forgot to leave a blank on number two, so I should have, and I forgot. So the church is the body of Christ. So Paul says to the Corinthian church, ye are the body of Christ. Now, we remember, we've learned over the years, that God repeats himself for sake of emphasis, not because he runs out of things to say. In this passage, in verses 12 through 27, the word body is used 18 times. So you got 18 times that the word body is used in a span of about 15, 16 verses. So obviously here, God's trying to emphasize how the local church is much like the human body. The human body is a picture. It's a type. It's symbolic of the local church. So look again at verse number 27. He says, now ye are the body of Christ and members in particular. So he uses the word ye in the King James. That's a plural pronoun. So that includes all the members of the Corinthian church. Okay, ye are the body of Christ, verse 27, and members in particular. Particular means one of the parts of the whole. So each member of the Corinthian church was one of the parts of the whole. Number three on your page, that you do have some blanks to fill in there. When God created our human body, he had a purpose and place for every limb, every organ, every cell, every tissue. So it is with the local church. And God, the Bible says we are fearfully and wonderfully made physically. So the makeup of our physical body, it's a wonderful thing. And God did all that, okay? And he had a purpose in place for every limb, organ, cell, and tissue. And he put it exactly where he wanted it, all right? And so is the makeup of the local church. Now, number four, I'm going to make several comments tonight about the church and its relation. It's what we learned about it from the body, okay? Number four, the church is a body with a head. The church is a body with a head. Now, look if you will. Hold your place there in 1 Corinthians 12. Just turn a few pages. We won't go to both passages. We'll just go to one. Ephesians chapter 5, okay? Ephesians chapter 5. Find that place in your Bible and look with me at verse number 22, okay? Where Paul is talking about the relationship of the husband and wife, but don't forget that he's using the relationship of husband and wife to teach us about the local church's relationship with Jesus Christ. We're the bride, he's the bridegroom. So he says, wives, submit yourselves unto your own husbands as unto the Lord. Now, we understand what that means in marriage. You know what it means when it pertains to the local church? As a church, we submit ourselves to our bridegroom, okay? Then goes on to say in verse number 23, for the husband is the head of the wife. Now watch this. Even as Christ is the head of the church, and he is the Savior of the body. So the Bible says plainly in Ephesians chapter 1, 22, Paul writing to the church at Ephesus, that Jesus is the head of the church, just like a body has a head. Looking at a bunch of bodies tonight sitting out in these pews, and everybody I'm looking at has a head. So just like the body has a head, Jesus is the head of the church, okay? Says the same thing over in Colossians chapter 1, verse number 18, but we won't go back there. Now, the Bible also makes it clear who is not the head of the church. Number 5 on your paper there, pastors are not the head. Not the head. And we're not going to turn to 1 Peter chapter 5 because we were there a few weeks ago. In that chapter, in those verses, verses 2 and 3, Paul tells the elders there, again, the pastors to feed the flock of God which is among you, taking the oversight thereof. Okay, it talks about the church being God's heritage. I am not the head of Faith Baptist Church. Jesus Christ is the head of this body. Okay, so the pastor is not a head. The Lord Jesus is the head. Then number 6 on your sheet, organizations are not the head of the church. Organizations, which would include denominations, okay? And I think we covered this a few weeks ago in our study on pastor-led versus elder rule. Nowhere in the Bible, all these books written to these local churches in the New Testament, nowhere in the Bible is there a group or organization in some distant city that was given headship over any of these local churches. There was no group had headship over the church at Corinth. No group had headship over the church at Ephesus. In Acts 15, we looked at this. Remember Acts 15? They brought Paul and Barnabas in, the leaders of the church at Jerusalem. They were, you know, the Gentiles were being saved down in Antioch. And what's happening here? And they were joining the church. And some Judaizers had come in behind Paul and Barnabas and taught the people in Antioch that they had to be circumcised in order to be saved. You add the law to what Jesus did. And anytime you add anything to what Jesus did, you're not going to get saved. Period. Okay, so that was a problem, and the leaders of the church in Jerusalem, they met with Paul and Barnabas, and they had a discussion about this. And if you remember that passage, remember that study, this resulted in a decision made by ultimately who? James, because he was the pastor. And the point I made in verse number 19 was where he said, wherefore my sentence is. In other words, he said, this is what I think it should happen, and that was it. But that's not what I want you to notice tonight. Wherefore my sentence is, now listen to this, that we trouble not them. So the church in Jerusalem said about the church in Antioch, you know what, it's not our business. It's not our business to trouble them. It's not our business to stick our nose in their business. You know, we need to let them know that Gentiles, it sounds like God is saving Gentiles just like he's saving Jews through the shed blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. And we're going to let that go and not fool it. They wrote him a letter, the church in Antioch, a letter of admonition about some things. But James' sentence was that we don't stick our nose into their business. Do not trouble them. And folks, the truth of the matter is, that's how it ought to be. That's how it ought to be. There is no group. There is no organization. Number 7 on your sheet. There was no interference with the church in Antioch by some board or denominational group. The church in Jerusalem had no say over the operation of the church because they were not the head. Brother Scott mentioned receding Illinois tonight. Honestly, you know, I think, you know, I get it, I guess. But it's not, you know, we've had a couple of cases in the years we've been trying to get these churches started here in the state where guys have acted like you're trying to set up a hierarchy and run these churches. Heaven help us. I'm turning gray running this church. I don't need to run 2. I don't need to run 3 for sure. That's not at all what we're doing. We're not people. Some of you know exactly what's happened. We go in. people from other churches. This church go in, we blitz, we visit, we put material in the door. Some of these people, some folks from our church usually go to the opening day. I think people from Faith Baptist have been at every one of the opening days of the six churches that have been started. And then we're gone. We don't have any say-so over that. Pastor, we don't have any say-so over that church. Because that's how it is. Jesus Christ is the head of the local church. All right? So this church, our church, has a head. And our head is Jesus Christ. So the church is a body with a head. He says in verse number 27, "Now ye are the body of Christ." That's saying Jesus Christ sits as the head of the church. Now, number 8, the second thing about the church, number 8 on your sheet, the church is a body with many members. Now, this is pretty simple, okay? Look at verse number 12. The church is a body with many members. Look at verse number 12. "For as the body is one," that's the church, that's the local church, the assembly, all right? "And hath many members," that's he's using the physical body to teach us about the local church body. "For as the body," the physical body is one, the local church body is one, "and hath many members, and all the members of that one body, being many, are one body, so also is Christ." So also is Christ. Now, just like our physical body is made up of several different members, so the church is one body made up of many different members. And you're looking around tonight at the members here. All right, now look at number 9 on your sheet. God places each member in the body. God places each member in the body, okay? I'm sorry, look at verse number 14. I skipped it. I meant to read verse 14. "For the body is not one member, but many," okay? And actually, verse 13. "For by one Spirit are we all baptized into one body, whether we be Jews or Gentiles, whether we be bond or free, and have been all made to drink into one Spirit." And then the body is not one member, but many. Now listen, God places each member in the body. Look at verse 18, verse number 18, all right? "But now hath God set the members, every one of them, in the body as it hath pleased him." Now, number 10 on your sheet. On the day God created Adam and Eve, he placed the members of their body as it was pleasing, pardon me, to him. And so how do we know that? On the day God created Adam and Eve, he placed the members of their body as it was pleasing to him. How do we know that? Well, Genesis 1:31 says, "And God saw everything that he had made, and behold, it was very good." You know what the word good means? It includes the meaning or the definition of pleasing. So God made Adam, God made Eve, he made their bodies according to his pleasing. The makeup of my body and the makeup of your body is according to God's pleasure. And number 11, God places the members of a church according to his own pleasing. God places the members of a church according to his own pleasing. You join a church according to God's will. It is God who places members in the body. It's God that brings the members here, okay? Either through salvation, through transfer of membership, through baptism, whatever it is. God brings the members here, places them in the body according to his own pleasing. And you know, Brother Brown told me years ago, before I moved out here, he said, "Terry, you don't ever question who God moves in or who God moves out. Because that's God's business. That's God's business. God sets the members in the body." Number 12 on your sheet. Each member of the body has different functions. Each member of the body has different functions. Now we just back up to verse number 18. "If the foot shall say, because I am not the hand, I am not of the body, is it therefore not of the body? And if the ear shall say, behold, because I am not the eye, I am not of the body, is it therefore not of the body? If the whole body were an eye, where were the hearing? If the whole were hearing, where were the smelling? But now hath God set the members, every one of them, in the body as it hath pleased him." Now, in those verses, Paul makes mention of five parts of the human body. The foot, the hand, the ear, the eye, and the nose. I don't have to belabor you, all of those body parts have different functions. But all of those body parts help the body live up to its full potential. Because number 13, one member of the body cannot do all the functions necessary for the body to live productively. One member of the body can't do that. If my body were made up of my hand, I could not function productively. If your body was made up of your ear, you could hear well, but you wouldn't function like you do. Number 14, the parts of the body are not jealous of each other. In truth, they are reliant on each other. And that's why there's no reason for any member of the church to be jealous of any other member in the church when it comes to what they do in the church. Okay? Because we're a body. And not every body part has the same function. You know, the foot is not jealous of the hand. The ear is not jealous of the eye. The eye is not jealous of the nose. Truth of the matter is, if the members of the body could all talk, we would be amazed at how appreciative they are for each other's particular functions. I mean, think about it. The stomach is thankful for the hand because the hand brings food to the mouth so it can get the food to the stomach. And the hand is thankful for the eye that sees the food and helps the hand to find the mouth so that the food can get to the stomach. And the eye is thankful for the foot who can carry the body closer to the table where the food is placed. And guess what? The whole body rejoices because the body likes to eat. And how many body parts are involved in all that? It's all healthy. It's all good. Every part of the body works together in harmony. And the foot doesn't go to bed saying, "That sorry stomach, I don't know who he thinks he is." And the eye doesn't go to bed saying, "You know, the hand gets all the credit. I'm just as important as he is." Members of the body understand if they could have a human voice, be personified, that they all have a function. They don't all do the same function, but they're all necessary to the productivity of the human body. And so it is with the local church, okay? That's number 18. Each member of the body is necessary. Each member of the body is necessary. And this is verses 19 through 23. If they were all one member, where were the body? You know, what if you had feet and a nose? Or feet and an ear? Think about it. The eye cannot say unto the hand, "I have no need of thee." Nor again the head to the feet, "I have no need of you." Nay, much more. No. These members of the body which seem to be more feeble are necessary. I'll talk about that in just a minute. No matter if we can live without a certain part of our body, I'm talking about our human body, God still created every part with a necessary function. For instance, recent scientific and medical research has determined that there is a higher purpose for the appendix despite its reputation for being unnecessary. The appendix. I copied and pasted because this is above my pay grade, okay? Researchers deduce that the appendix is designed to protect good bacteria in the gut. Sorry, ladies, but that's how it came out, all right? Good bacteria. That way, when the gut is affected by a bout of diarrhea or other illness that cleans out the intestines, the good bacteria in the appendix repopulates the digestive system to keep you healthy. Did you know that about the appendix? Most people thought, the appendix. It's a pitiful little part. It used to be common for people to have their tonsils removed. You don't hear about that much anymore. It doesn't seem to be quite as common now. But the conventional wisdom is, you know, we can survive without the tonsils because they are not necessary. You know, surviving without them is one thing. Telling God he made an unnecessary part of the body is something else. The tonsils were not thought of quite as poorly as the appendix. But still, they have a positive function for the body. Again, I'm reading from some medical journal. The tonsils are part of the body's immune system because of their location at the throat and the palate. They can stop germs entering the body through the mouth or the nose. The tonsils also contain a lot of white blood cells, which are responsible for killing germs. Does it sound like the tonsils were unnecessary? Doesn't sound like that. You can live without them, but God made them for a purpose. How many of you have had your tonsils or your appendix removed? Huh? Hands everywhere. Okay? I'm up with the appendix. Okay? Still got the tonsils. And we're still living. I don't have my appendix. You don't have tonsils. How many of you have both? You've lost both. Okay? How many of you lost tonsils, appendix, and a gallbladder? Okay? Some of you have more parts gone than you have left. Amen? Hey, here's what I'm saying. God didn't create any part of the human body that was just totally unnecessary. He put it together. So when he put those tonsils in the human body, there was a purpose for that. And when he put the appendix in the human body, there was a purpose for that. And number 17 on your sheet, no member of a local church is unnecessary. No member. And we might be tempted to believe that a certain member is not necessary to the well-being of our church, but we don't know the importance they bring to making the body what it is. We don't know that. Only God knows that. And if that member leaves the church, you know what? We might be able to operate without them being here, but we will miss the positive function that God created them to perform. I believe that with all of my heart. Look again at verse number 22. It's an interesting verse. Nay, much more, these members of the body, which seem to be more feeble, are necessary. Number 18, the more feeble members of the body are more necessary. Every part's necessary. The more feeble ones are more necessary. You know, I was thinking about how do you describe this? Well, your hands are tough, okay? I know people have soft hands, but think about it. Your hands are tough. How many things does your hand touch in a day's time? How much do you do with your hands in a day's time? Okay? Because hands are fairly tough. And so are feet. And so are knees. They're pretty tough. We use them all day long. The feet and the hands especially are exposed a lot of times to the external, okay? But think about this. The kidney and the liver are made of far more feeble material. That's tissue. Organs are made out of tissue. Is that right? Yeah. They're far more feeble. They're much, much more feeble material. And they're placed in such a way where they are protected. Now, I don't want to lose a hand, but if I had to choose between losing a hand or losing my liver, and I had no choice, the hand would have to go. Because the liver is more necessary. That's the more feeble part of the body as far as its physical makeup goes. It's a tissue. Now, all I'm saying is this. There is not a member of the church who's unnecessary. You know, sometimes an older member passes away and goes to heaven. And somebody thinks, you know, well, they were older and, you know, really they couldn't bring a whole lot to the church as far as the operation of it. You know what that's saying? In other words, That older member was not necessary. I'll tell you something. We have no idea how much of a part their prayers contributed to the well-being of our body. And I don't care if you're 5 years of age, you've been saved and baptized, or if you're 95 years of age, saved and baptized, and you joined this local assembly, you are a necessary member. A necessary member. You know, certain older people have gone to heaven over the years, and I literally have wondered who's going to take their place praying. How's that going to impact the church? Because number 19 on your sheet, every member is necessary and important to a local church body. Every member is necessary and important to a local church body. No matter how they fit into the body, you are not unnecessary. Now, pretty obvious, if you're going to perform the function that God made for you to do, you're going to have to be here. So you're an important part of the body that's AWOL. You're not helping us. Okay? Because there's no unimportant. Nobody should ever think to themselves, well, I'm not that important to the church. I can, you know, I can skip several services and it's not a big deal. No, if you're a member here, you're important. And you got some function. And, you know, we might be able to operate without you, but we'll never operate to our full potential. Every member is necessary, important to a local church body. No matter how they fit into the church, into the body, you are not unnecessary. You know, I would hope as a pastor that I do okay making you feel necessary. And if I fail, and I know I have over the years, you know, it really pained me when Joyce Robbins passed away. And I told Daryl Kaufman, Daryl's her brother, and I called him. Talked to him on the phone. I apologize. I said, Daryl, I feel like we really dropped the ball with Joyce, just keeping up with her. She would bounce around from nursing home to nursing home. He said, Pastor, we didn't even know where she was sometimes. And I felt bad about it. You know, because that's one of the things a pastor is supposed to do. It's supposed to convey to the member of the church just how necessary you are to the health of the church. I'm serious about that. You know, if I have failed in doing that with you, you know what? Take your consolation from the Word of God. Because that book right there says that you're a member of a local church, you're important, and you're necessary for the function of the body. God never created any part of the human body that was completely unnecessary. Completely unnecessary. Take the tonsils out, thank God we can live. Take the appendix out, thank God we can live. But don't say that those tonsils and that appendix had no necessary part in the function of the human body. They did because God made them and put them where He did. Number 20, God never put any member into a church that is unnecessary for that church body to fulfill its full potential. God never put any member into a church that is unnecessary for that church body to fulfill its full potential. You know, you may not know what you mean to the church. I was recently, they had a little party, going away party for Sarah. And I think Nicole was giving a testimony. And, you know, Nicole grew up in a thriving independent Baptist church over here at Chesterton. Good church. And, I mean, that's all she knew. I think you grew up there from little girl, were you born? Okay, yeah, that's pretty little. So she grew up there from birth. And some of you have done that. How old were you when you got married, Nicole? 25. So 25 years in the same local church, and boom, all of a sudden you're sitting in a different church completely. Same Bible, same, you know, type services, sing, preach, fellowship. Some of you have done that. It's like, I don't know anybody here. And she said, I just decided I was going to make myself part of the church. And she looked across, and she saw Sarah Harrison sitting here, and she just thought, I wonder if I should get to know her. I think I'd like to get to know her. And she got to know Sarah, and they became close, close friends. So maybe just you sitting in the pew has some function. Maybe when you're not sitting in the pew, somebody looks across and says, oh, where is she? Where's he? You know, if you're sick, that's one thing, but gone, 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 show up, gone, 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 show up, gone, 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 show up. Yes, after a while, what's going on? There's not an unnecessary person around here. There's not an unimportant person around here. If you're a member of a local assembly. Yeah, you know, once again, some people leave. Thank God we can function, we can operate, but we never function to our full potential. Never can, because that member's missing. I've used the illustration, and I got to stop. But I've used the illustration about Joyce's dad. I have never known him in my relationship with him when he had his right arm, because he lost it in that corn sheller day after Christmas, 68 or 69, and had that hook arm. And he did a lot. He was a farmer. He sold feed. He marked hogs, for those of you that know what that means on the farm. Loaded hogs. Worked with turkeys, cows, sheep on a farm with a hook. Worked like a dog. He could do almost everything until it came time to buttoning this button or this button. He couldn't button his sleeve with that hook. So John Christner could do almost everything that was the full potential of his physical body, but not 100%, because he was missing that member. I doubt there's an independent Baptist church in America, in the world, that's living up to its full potential. Because usually, there are members missing. And it's not that the church can't do anything. But you can live up, it's impossible to live up to the full potential. Because every member is necessary. That's what Paul is talking about. That's what God is teaching us here about the local church. Number 21, just again, I'll repeat what I said earlier tonight. Just like our physical body is fearfully and wonderfully made, so the church is miraculously put together. Jesus is the head. He's the chief shepherd. I'm the under shepherd. I am a member of this body like you are. And if we have time, a couple weeks when we get back here, Brother Martin will be here next week. But we may even talk about that. How that the members that we think to be less honorable actually are more comely. It's really an interesting study, okay? Let's stand together. Heads are bowed, eyes are closed. You're an important and necessary person if you are a member of a local church. You're important. And you're necessary. Now, I'm not saying if you're not a member, you're not important and necessary to God. But I'm saying if you are a member of a local church, you are important and necessary to that church, which is the body of Christ, Jesus being the head. You're important. Maybe you should just be in your place. Most folks have a function. Most folks have one or more spiritual gifts. Everybody has one. Many have more. Just being in your place. So somebody new looks across the auditorium and says, I think I'd like to get to know that person. And a fast friendship is formed because that member was necessary. So are you doing your part? Are you doing your part as a member of the local assembly? Father, bless the message, the lesson tonight. Thank you for the local church, its makeup, its purpose. And Lord, thank you for giving us the metaphor of the physical body to learn about it. And thank you, Lord Jesus, for being the head of this church. I trust that we will follow you and do your will in Christ's name. Heads are bowed, eyes are closed. Our piano begins to play tonight. If you'd like, I know if you want to come tonight and pray for a second, you have the time to do that. Step out.